It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
11 o'clock hour. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Willie will be along in just a little bit. But excited about our next guest. His first appearance on our show as we get things going. And, you know, I'm sure 2008 is going to come up at some point in this interview. But we say hello to Titans legend, former running back Chris Johnson, CJ2K, on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. It's good to have you on. I know you have to be excited about reuniting with your buddy Lindale White, Smash and Dash, back together again, your new show on Believe. How did that all come to be?
Oh, man, it was just crazy. Like, me and Lindale is around each other so much, right? And we always, like, it could be by anything. It could be about Checkers fries taste better than McDonald's fries or just anything. We always going back and forth on topics and stuff like that. And I'm like, when the whole podcast world came about and it's just getting more popular and more popular, it's like, bro, we do this on an everyday basis. The only thing we're missing is the cameras and recording it and stuff like that. So I'm like, shoot, we already do this. Like, why not just, you know, like, why not just, you know, do us a podcast and, like, do us a show? So we agreed upon that. And then we actually, like, we went back and forth for probably like a month on trying to find a name because we didn't want to do Smash and Dash. We wanted to stay away from that, because we wanted our podcast not to be solely on about sports. We wanted to be about all type of topics going on in the world and stuff like that. And then just, you know, I had put out a poll on Twitter, Instagram, and just word of mouth asking different people and stuff like that. And everybody, they kept coming back to Smash and Dash, Smash and Dash. So just like, man, this is what everybody wants, and we can't get away from it. So you know what? We just going to do the Smash and Dash or whatever. So did the Smash and Dash and, you know, started recording and getting everything together and stuff like that. And the crazy thing about it, like, we speedballing. So, you know, we just started recording this and that. And then we were like, wait a minute, like, dang, we haven't even done a photo shoot. We haven't done this and that. You know what I'm saying? So we learning as we go or whatever like that. So we recorded our first episode, then we had to go back, do a photo shoot and get a logo and all that different type of thing. And just, everything is running smooth now. So now we just focused on recording and different things.
Yeah, Chris Johnson is with us. And look, you're learning now what it's like on this side of things. You know, you were the guy that we always talked to, but now you're kind of learning the media biz side. But You mentioned the name Smash and Dash, and I remember when that name kind of first came to be, your rookie season, Lindale's here, and I kind of felt like then you guys kind of didn't necessarily want that to be it, but it just kind of took off. Can you remember how that name really came to be and just kind of took off and became a thing with Titans fans?
Well, I know we was coming in, you know, he was the bigger back. I was the smaller back. We both, like, we, that year, like, we ran the ball so much. We two guys or whatever, like, I ran it all over the field. We get down to the goal line. He come in and, you know, short yardage. He come in and get the touchdown in the end. And also, sometimes you game going certain type of ways, and he is that guy going there. He the big bruiser. He softened those guys up. So I think we was playing Kansas City, and I think I had like 170 yards. He had like 150 yards. He broke a long one for like an 80-yard touchdown. I think I had like a 70-yard touchdown. Then we was in the media. And for I don't know what made them do it this week, but for some reason, the media, I think it was Robbie. He was like, y'all gonna do y'all press conference together today or whatever, because we usually did it by ourselves. He said, y'all gonna do it together today. So we did it together, and I don't remember which media guy it was, but he asked us a question. He's like, he asked us what our name is, like, being that we together or whatever, what's our name? Do we have a name for ourselves? Do we have a name for ourselves or whatever? And we was like, no, Lindell was like, yeah, man, we smashing dads. And ever since then, that's what they was going by, smashing dads.
Talking to Titans, former Titans running back Chris Johnson, who's on with us. Believe.com is the site, BLEAV, and Smash and Dash is the show. Chris Johnson and Lindell White. You obviously rushed for over 2,000 yards in 2009. Derrick Henry has become the second Titans back to do that. 358 carries for you that year, and that's something that we talk about a lot with Derrick Henry, of the wear and tear. He's such a big guy. He'll take a beating, but he carries the ball a lot. How much did you think about that in your career of the number of carries that you were getting, and when did you kind of start to feel that on your body?
Oh, man, while you're in it, you don't think about it. You just like, I'm the man, give me the ball, making plays. Like, I don't care, give me the ball, I want the ball, or whatever. But, of course, everybody knows those type of carries, those type of touches, it wears on your body quicker than another back that's not getting as many carries or whatever like that. So it's crazy that you say that, because I remember after I rushed for 2,000 yards, I had an interview with Eddie George, and he was like, and we were just talking about it, whatever, about touches and stuff like that, and he was like, well, yeah, you done did 2,000 yards already. Like, maybe you don't want to do that again. Maybe, like, instead of getting all them carries, like, you come and do 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. And I'm looking at him so crazy. Like, if you can put I'm looking at him crazy, like, what do you mean? Not get these carries and rush 2,000 yards again. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. But, like, at that time and being that young in the game, I couldn't even comprehend or understand where he was coming from. But now I understand it now. Like, instead of putting all that wear and tear on my body and I can prolong my career, like, I don't need to go in there and get 358 carries. Maybe I come in there and get 250 carries, 275 carries, and come and get 50, 60 receptions, knowing that the reception is not going to really take a toll on my body, because a lot of times when you're catching out of backfield, you're not taking that pounding. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't understand it at that young of an age, but now when I go back and look at it and I think about what he was telling me, now it makes sense. So, like, for me looking at it now and me looking at Derrick Henry and knowing, like, within the last 3, maybe 4 years, the type of volume of carries that he's been getting and stuff like that, it wouldn't hurt for us to have a back in there to take some of that load off of him to prolong his career. Because, like, you look at it last year, he was getting those volume of carries, and then, look, he ended up getting a season-ending injury. You know what I'm saying? It probably is, you know, the more times you run the ball and take those carries, that's the more chance of getting hurt. I don't care if it's a freak injury or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it would be good for us to have somebody to come in and take a lot of that load off of him.
We'll talk with Chris Johnson, 2009 NFL Offensive Player of the Year, the first Titans to eclipse over 2,000 yards in that 09 season. It was a memorable season for him, and it was a memorable season for me watching him in Baltimore. But I'm luckily, he didn't finish the whole game, but we're not going to go there just yet.
Yeah, man, y'all done hurt me, man.
I think Derek conspired the whole thing, Chris.
Hey, I had nothing to do with it. I played offensive side of the ball. I'm just watching as a fan from there, hoping they stop him. But no, Chris, your last year with the Titans with 13, you had already eclipsed 1,000 yards six seasons in a row. Obviously, you were their go-to guy on offense. How was that transition for you leaving Tennessee after six really, really productive seasons and that great season in 09 going to the Jets? How was that transition for you?
Man, that transition was probably one of the toughest things I think I had to deal with in my playing career, because, like, you know how we is as athletes. Like, mm-hmm. I'm in Tennessee. I'm the guy. I want to play my whole career out as a Titan. Like, there's no way that I would leave here. This is where I want to be. The fans love me. The city loves me. Like, everything, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when it came to a point where they wanted to part ways, it was like I was in disbelief, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was in disbelief. So it was like, damn, I got to start all over. Like, I got to move to a whole different city, whole new team, learn a whole new staff, like, playbook, everything. And it was like, you know, At some point. And then the crazy thing about it, because my last year when I went over 1,000, the second week two of that season, I tore my meniscus or whatever, right? So it was a chance. Like, they brought me in, they like, man, you can have surgery now. You'll miss probably 4 to 6 weeks, or you can tough it out and have surgery after the season. So I'm like, man, ain't no way I'm finna, if I got a chance to play, ain't no way I'm finna leave my team hanging and not play. Like, I'm finna play, I'm finna tough it out, play throughout the year on this torn meniscus or whatever. So I played the whole season out, and then after the season, I had the surgery, and then that's when I was released. So I'm going into year seven in a situation I've never been through. That's like, I'm going to a new team, new city, new this, and I'm rehabbing from a surgery. So I'm not able to hit it hard like I'm usually able to hit it in the offseason and get ready, because I'm rehabbing from a knee injury or whatever. So just going through that whole situation, ultimately getting over there to the Jets and playing that year out and stuff like that, it was a real tough transition. But, you know, I did what I had to do and made it work or whatever. But it was pretty tough, but I got through it.
Yeah, that's the hard part, as you know, Chris. It's like, okay, I got to have surgery. I need to have surgery at the end of the season. I can have it now. What do I do as a player? Can I play on it? If I can play, then I'm playing. And I don't want to leave my brothers out there, you know, to defend themselves without me. So, you know, I'm sure thinking about it now, you're like, man, maybe I should have done it. Maybe, you know, maybe I should have had myself completely healthy.
Yeah, if I ain't going to lie now, if I can go back and redo it again, I would have had surgery right then, because that mindset that I was – because, and I say that because the mindset that I was in, like, this is my team forever. I'm blessed, blood, sweat, and tears. I'm do whatever for this team, whatever for this organization. And no, I'm not going to sit down when I go out there, and I know they're depending on me. But if I go back and do it again, I would have that surgery, because that me having that mindset and me doing that, it kind of hurt me in the end, because after that season, they said that I lost a step. Mm-hmm. And they knew that I've been playing on the torn meniscus since week two. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if I would have sat there and had the surgery and got myself together and stuff like that, they couldn't say that I lost a step and that's the reason why we're releasing you or want you to take a pay cut and all this, you know what I'm saying? But, like, the smart me going back looking at myself, like, I would tell a younger player, man, if you're in that situation, man, go have that surgery.
Now, quickly,
serve and make sure your body right.
Mm-hmm. Now, quickly, before we get you out of here, we'll talk with Chris Johnson. 2009 NFL Offensive Player of the year that rushed over 2,000 yards. It was 2,006 yards and 14 touchdowns. And he averaged damn near 6 yards per carry, which he was at 5.6. How much do you think about that playoff game? You know, because every time it's talked about, if CJ hadn't got hurt, man, that was the year the Titans.
You're losing that game, Derek. If he doesn't get hurt,
hey, listen, I'm not. We won, so you can, Chase, you can go back and
I'm with Chris.
Litigate it. You can go back and litigate it all you want, but we won. But Chris, do you ever like, man, that was our opportunity, and because I got hurt, it was no fault of yours, but because you got hurt, you know, you guys end up losing that game.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. Like, that was our Super Bowl, because you got to think, Pittsburgh won that Super Bowl that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the game that toward the end of that regular season, we played Pittsburgh and we whooped Pittsburgh. Then we had the first round bye and we came to save y'all. So when y'all beat us, y'all had to go and play Pittsburgh, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, y'all had to go. So we just had beat them. And then even in the game when we played y'all, even though I got hurt, we still fumbled the ball away two times in our red zone, and we only lost by 3 points. And then they didn't call the delay a game when Joe Flacco came out and threw you that deep ball that you caught late. That was a delay a game that they didn't call. So, yeah, it hurts me because I know that was my Super Bowl. And if I only got hurt, we would have won that game for sure.
Chris, I agree with you. I disagree with my co-host, and I will until the end of time. Hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much for doing this. Smash and Dash is the show. It's on Bleav.com. I know you're 5 episodes in, you and Lindell White. Best of luck with it. And, hey, let's do this again soon. It's good to catch up.
Thanks for coming on, CJ.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
CJ2K, Chris Johnson joining us. Very, very cool stuff. And look, that was therapeutic for him.
I'm sure.
To do that. coming up next, you'll hear from the current Titans running back. Derrick Henry is going to address the media. You'll hear a little bit of that coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We just heard from one Titans 2,000-yard rusher. Let's go hear from the other one, Derrick Henry, at the podium now.
Last year, is it nice to at least, or do you take his words as being completely truthful, or do you think he's trying to build you up a little bit before Sunday?
He's trying to build me up and then go in the locker room and tell him to knock my head off. But but it's always tough to go against him. I feel like he's great at what he does, and it's always a hard days of work when you go against his defense. But I appreciate the words. But yeah, it's gonna be a slugfest when we get to Sunday.
What's it feeling like there, I guess, at week one when you're out there for the anthem, though you're getting ready to kick off another season?
I just, take it all in and, get ready into that ball to snap. But, yeah, I mean, it's all the feels on week one and, the first game. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of hype going on, but, just get ready and get settled in and get ready to play.
Derek, the NFL had a stat the other day. It said last year teams with a 100-plus rusher had a better winning percentage than a quarterback threw for 300 yards or a receiver caught for 100 yards. Surprise you at all, or is that kind of a testament to what a running game can do?
So your running backs are important. Maybe important than a quarterback now at this point. But, yeah, man, you've got a good run game, and, you're able to control the line of scrimmage. That's always big. And, I feel like it, gives you the momentum, throughout the game. If you're pushing piles, getting tough yards, and then that leads to big ones. So anytime you got momentum in the run game, I feel like, usually it ends up good on your side of the ball.
This team's changed a lot since last year, a lot of new players on both sides of the ball. Just from what you've seen through camp heading into week one, how do you like this team, and how good do you think it can be?
It's been fun to watch, some of the new guys grow, some of the rookies, some of the guys that are new get acclimated to how we do things, and to see it carry on into week one. And like I said, we're still improving until Sunday comes, but it's going to be exciting to watch the rookies and the new guys and see how well they play and us playing together on all three phases as a team.
Is there any carryover from season to season where it's like last year you didn't have the same amount of carries, obviously, with the season being cut short for you? do you feel fresher this year? Like, is there any carryover from that perspective?
I mean, I didn't get to finish the whole season, so I mean, I didn't get as much as carries I usually do in a season. And going through camp, I felt good. I did my regular plan, and coming to week one, so I feel good. So I'm just focused on what I can do this week to be ready for Sunday and not try to get too carried away with how many carries and all that. But I feel good, and I'm excited to be back.
At 28 years old, you're inching closer to that quote-unquote,
getting old.
30-year-old cliff for running backs. I talked to Adrian Peterson. He said, it's just a number, and he gets stronger with age. Is that something that you could reason to?
Yeah, I mean, I hope I can be like, him and Frank Gore. Those guys, played for a long time, and, they are like the pedestal as far as like running backs playing, more than they're expected, in the recent years. So if I can make it through just like those guys, but just focus on the right now, he's been a big role model for me, him and Frank, since I've been playing football. So, they set the standard high, so I hope I can live up to it.
What motivates you heading into a season? You pay attention to what the people say about this team, what they say about you, what they say about your age? Do you listen to any of that?
I'm just hungry. It's always going to be he say, she say. I mean, that goes on every day, but I can't really worry about that. Just focus on what I need to do, and I'm hungry. I'm ready to go. It's week one. Want to get better, let my teammates get better, and just focus on Sunday.
When it comes to monitoring your workload, you've talked at length about how much just trust you have in the game plan that your coaches set for you. How long did it really take for you to build that trust with them, and how much more important is that trust, the game plan your coaches have for you this season, coming off of last year?
Yeah, I mean, we've been together going on 5 years now, so I think that they understand me and I understand them, and they know what works for me, and that's all that we can try to do together as well. And then if it works, don't try to change anything, just keep sticking to it, but focus on getting better in every aspect that we can, and they coaching me up and make sure I'm ready to go on Sunday.
What are your thoughts of the running back on the other side, Saquon? Is he a guy you maybe have respect of someone you've, say, hey, he's nice.
Yeah, I mean, my game's not like Saquon's game. I feel like I feel like he can do it all. And I think he's a generational talent. With this game, it comes injuries, and, he's had some hiccups there. But, I mean, everybody goes through adversity. The type of player Saquon is, I'm sure he'll bounce back. Hopefully it's not week one, but, I wish him all the best, and be excited to see him after the game.
There you go, Titans running back, I almost said Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry at the podium. We just talked to, or just heard from, two 2,000-yard rushers for the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, we'll get a few minutes with Rashad Weaver, Titans linebacker, as they get ready to take on the New York Giants. That is all coming up on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But first, my go-to drink. It has been for a long time, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I love it so much, I like to take it as a shot. Chilled, but you can drink it on the rocks. You can have it as an espresso martini, a peanut butter old fashioned, which is very good, by the way, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. Just go to screwballwhiskey.com and you can find more recipes for it. But the reason that I like it, it's the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world. It's made with real whiskey, peanuts, and peanut butter, and Screwball is all natural flavored, and you can enjoy it any way you want. So when you're out and about this weekend watching some games, you're with your friends, say, I want a Screwball peanut butter whiskey, just like me, just like the suit. But also do like I do, and make sure when you enjoy Screwball peanut butter whiskey, you enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. We'll be joined by Rashad Weaver here in just a few minutes. Just heard from the Titans, and it will be just a couple minutes before he calls in. So we will talk to the second-year linebacker. But real quick, good to hear from Chris Johnson. And Smash and Dash is the podcast, and then you heard from Derrick Henry. And, I've had this conversation with a few people because all the 2,000-yard rushers in the history of the NFL are in the Hall of Fame. I think Chris's numbers outside of that are impressive outside of the 2,000-yard year, but I don't know if they're Hall of Fame worthy. He had under 10,000 yards in his career, and I know you can make the argument of, well, he's still a 2,000-yard rusher. That's a heck of a feat. He didn't play as long as maybe you thought he was going to, but he had six straight years over 1,000. And, you know, as somebody that's kind of had this conversation about his own career, how do you view CJ2K when it comes to talking about Canton?
Well, running backs, it's almost sort of that quarterback issue that you can put up the numbers, but if you don't have a Super Bowl in your pocket or a few of them, then everybody's always saying, well, he's borderline, but they start really cherry-picking your career. But if you have a Super Bowl, they're not cherry-picking your career. They didn't cherry-pick Terry Bradshaw's career. They didn't cherry-pick Joe Namath's career. And those guys, if you put them in today's game and put their numbers up against the guys today, they wouldn't make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
but and because I guess they won Super Bowls, then they're in.
I misspoke. Jamal Lewis is not in. I forgot about him.
Those are two. Yeah, because you look at someone Denver's running back,
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis has six seasons.
Yep,
he rushed over 2,000 yards. I think twice or came close to it the second time. But in that span of, I think he had a 4-year run where it was almost off the charts. He was the guy. But in that run, he had two Super Bowls, you know?
Yeah.
That helped elevate John Elway's career, and that helped elevate his career. You can't put John Elway in the Hall of Fame and then don't put Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame, because many think that it's because of Terrell Davis in that great defense that they ultimately won a Super Bowl, because John Elway had been John Elway for many years, but they never won a Super Bowl. But you give him a running back like Terrell Davis and sets that defense up, and he has some really good receivers as well. But many believe, too, that Terrell Davis is the reason why they end up winning that Super Bowl. So you look at Terrell Davis's career, he had less than 10,000 yards, but he's in the Hall of Fame. If CJ... You know, if they win the Super Bowl in 2009, I think he's closer, if not, or closer to being in Canton than he is now.
Yeah,
I think he's always in the discussion of, is this the year that he make it to the finals of, you know, Hall of Fame
inductees?
Because his career, if you look at the yardage, yards per carry, touchdowns, I mean, he, based on what other running backs have done, he should be in.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's...
But he's not.
The, you know, Jamal Lewis is,
that's
not
another
in.
Guy that needs to be in. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, there's an argument. Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson's not eligible yet. He will be.
Oh, definitely.
He will get in. I mean, there's no doubt there. I think Derrick Henry's well on his way to get into that point.
Derek needs to eclipse 10,000 yards. And the Titans need to go on another run.
Had he not gotten hurt last year, and even if he doesn't get 2,000 again, which I think he was going to, if he had gotten 2,000 again last year,
he's a lock. Yeah.
Like it would have been done.
Yeah.
But he's about 200 yards away from 7,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he could do that in the first couple of weeks and be at 7,000.
Yeah, but, you know, it all depends on whether he can if he can add some more years to his career. If he can have three to four more productive years, meaning plus 1,000 yards, then the argument for Canton gets louder with him. But if he doesn't, because of the wear and tear and the injury last year, and he's not back to what he once was, then I think he's further away from that conversation. But he was on his way. If he gets over, because he would have shattered Barry Sanders' record. Shatters Barry Sanders' record. He doesn't get hurt. He comes back this season and say he has 1,500 yards. He's in Canton.
Yeah. Well, I think he was going to shatter Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson had 2,105.
Yeah, you're right. Eric Dickerson does have the record. He broke Barry Sanders' record.
Yeah, Barry had 2,053.
And Eric had 21.
Yeah. Yes. Or Derek would have. Eric Dickerson had 2105, and I think Henry would have easily gotten
that. Yeah,
he would have
got that, yeah.
You know, I mean, Adrian Peterson was close to it in 2012 at 2097.
Yeah, but we all believe but Adrian Peterson has had a longer career, even with the injuries. He still, what did he play, 12 years, 13 years, somewhere around that? And he still hadn't retired, has he?
No, I mean, he's still technically a free agent. So he could certainly, you know, be there. But I thought it was also interesting, you know, you two talking about 08 and that playoff game.
But see, that's the and you know, I asked that question not necessarily, you know, to make fun or anything else, but to let our listeners really understand how hard it is to be in a position to be the favorite in the NFL, like the whole NFL, you're the favorite to make it to the Super Bowl. Everything is in place. And then all of a sudden, one thing happens and it ripples effect for everything else. CJ gets hurt, ripple effect, fumbles and all this other stuff. If he doesn't get hurt, do they have the fumbles? Maybe not. Derrick Henry gets hurt in the middle of the season. Ripple effect. Ryan Tannehill throws three interceptions. Ripple effect. They may not ever get to that point again. That's why last year was so important for this team. They had everything in place. Vrabel did a hell of a job at coaching. And in one game, against a team that they were much better than, they squandered it away. So this season, as I said at the beginning of the show, last year we were talking about Tannehill, and could he get this team to the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. We were worried about him. This year, we're not worried necessarily about him. We're worried about the people around him, the experience at corner, the lack of experience, or the lack of continuity with the receivers, because they're all basically new, except Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. The offensive line hasn't gelled just yet, and they still have questions with the guard and the tackle. So now we went from having one question to having multiple questions.
I feel like that's kind of how it goes sometimes, though, with questions.
I think that's why Titans fans are so upset. Mm-hmm. And so disappointed, because they felt last year was that year.
Coming up next, Rashad Weaver should be calling in. Willie D is here. He's going to join the show as well. It's Chase Willie D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Let's say hello to Titans linebacker Rashad Weaver, who is on the line with us. I know, Rashad, you only got a few minutes to join us, but appreciate it today. How are you feeling going into game one, knowing that because of Harold Landry being out, your role has obviously grown with this team? How are you feeling after training camp?
Yeah, what's up? Morning. I'm excited, ready to get out there. Like you said, you know, I was excited either way before that happened to H. I'm just going to take advantage of every opportunity. And now, you know, looking ahead, everybody thinks, you know, there's going to be more opportunities. So if there is, I just can't wait to get out there and, you know, make the most of it and show that it's not being wasted.
Yeah, and how hungry are you after last year? You know, you come in as a fourth-round pick and a rookie, but then you have an injury that you have to deal with on your own. So this is kind of your opportunity now to show everybody what you have.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. I love it, like football. Like, you feel me? Like, I loved it every day. I say it, and when you can't play it and you just got to watch at home, it builds that fire and you're ready to get out there, and I've just been counting down the days. You know, preseason games are fun and all, but they're not the regular season.
We're talking with Rashad Weaver, Tennessee Titans fourth-round pick last year, heading into his second season. Now, Rashad, Harold Landry goes down, and obviously that's a big blow, but I'm sure Coach Vrabel has preached to you guys, hey, listen, yes, it is a blow to a team, but it's an opportunity for one of you other guys to step up and play a significant role on this team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like they always say, the injury rate in football is 100%. It's just a matter of time to win, whether it's small or big. And with that, you just got to come in every day. Like, and, you know, I talk about preparing like a starter, whether you're on the practice squad or you are the starter. I just kind of try to come in each day the same way. So then you're just ready when that number calls. Because, I mean, it doesn't apply to me, but, you know, there could be a guy that was on practice squad, age went down, and now they move up, and they might have to be ready to play. So it's just any situation, I feel like you just got to be ready for that so you can go out there and put some stain on your name, you know, earn some recognition and have the team's trust doing it in games and earning the trust of the fans and everybody in the organization and, you know, stuff like that.
Now, how antsy or impatient were you last week, knowing that preseason is done, they've pretty much solidified the roster, but now you got to wait an extra week just to play a football game?
Man, camp was long, so I was like, yeah, this is a nice little weekend break. You feel me? Camp is now over, so nice little three-day break, and it comes back quick, and we've been working. And now I feel like throughout this week that we're practicing, I'm a little more antsy and ready for it than I was last week. I ain't going to lie, I was enjoying that little couple days off last week after camp.
Well, we got a lot of Vol fans that are listening, so what you have to say? It's a big game this weekend, hey. Pitt. Your head coach was a coach at my alma mater, Michigan State, Pat Narduzzi.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So I got love for Pat. So I guess I'm kind of leaning a little bit toward Pitt in that sense. But, yeah, you got a lot of Vol fans that are listening. What you got to say to them?
Hey, my dog coach, dude, hail to Pitt. Get that 2-0 this week. Can't let him come to the crib and get a win. So that's going to be – sorry, that's going to be a long trip for him. That's what I'm planning on.
it begins. Rashad Weaver, Titans linebacker, is with us. And going up against that Giants offense, what are kind of some things that you've learned about them, whether it's Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, as you get ready for game planning?
I mean, they're all great players, and they all bring a different skill set that you got to be prepared for. It'll, you know, cost you games, and everyone knows – Saquon's coming back for his bounce back year and the type of player he is, and he can make things happen when the ball's in his hand, and Daniel Jones is continuing to, you know, prove himself and show what he is, and that he was a first-round pick for a reason, and those are guys that you got to be prepared for because that's who their offense is going to be focused around.
Well, Rashad, I know you got to go. You got a lot to get ready for this weekend, but we appreciate the few minutes today, and best of luck. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. I'm about to go out here and run around and get ready for this weekend.
There you go. Have a good practice.
Yep.
Rashad Weaver, Titans linebacker, joining us here on the show as he's got a big role now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of big shoes to fill for him with Harold Landry out. We'll see the scheme and how they're going to use him, I should say, starting this week. We say hello to Willie D. He's in the fold with us now.
Hello,
Willie,
guys.
What's up? How you doing?
Good to be here. I was listening on the way over here. Strong hour. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Johnson.
Yeah,
was great
that was
catching
awesome.
Up with CJ. You know, I learned a few things. I did not remember the meniscus tear that he played through, and it does really give you pause and say, you know, what could have been?
Mm-hmm.
What could have been had he had the surgery early? And that is a dilemma I'm sure D-Mace, tons of players have faced. And I could tell, you know, he was careful on how he said it, but he was kind of sad that he didn't get the loyalty back. You know, it said, you know what, I was there, I played through it, but when the season was over and they thought I lost the step, they were ready to move on. I didn't get any kind of, you know, sympathy or cachet for playing through what he said clearly hampered him.
So 2013 would have been the end of Munchak, I think. That would have been Munchak's last year, right?
What?
2013.
Those are some years that we don't really like to remember.
Well, I know. That's why I'm struggling to remember it. Because I look at – had he lost a step? Yeah, probably. But I look at the numbers. He still had over 1,000 yards with a torn meniscus, which is still pretty impressive.
You know,
and if you look at – even though his numbers were not to that, but 2015 – you know, he was approaching 1,000 yards on 196 carries with Arizona at 30 years old. You do kind of wonder, did they maybe move on too soon?
Well, I think they would probably tell you they didn't because he never was the
True.
Same after he left. But I think the question is, had they shut him down in 2013, how much better would his 2014 season have been? And would he have stayed a Titan? And if he had a bounce back in 2014, how many more years would he have played with the Titans? I mean, that you can tell that's what he kind of wonders in retrospect. The other thing that I loved was just flat out giving it to D-May, saying we absolutely would have won the game had he not gotten hurt. And I do believe that. I'm with Chase on that.
I do too, and I forgot. He brought up the delay of game.
The delay
that I forgot
of game
about.
Was a big one. The delay of game was a big one. I remember that very, very well.
That touchdown doesn't count for you.
No, it wasn't a touchdown. It wasn't on the touchdown. It was a big third down pickup, if I remember correctly. We can go back and look at the play, but it was after D. Mace's touchdown.
It was the third down pass to which receiver was it?
God, I don't think it was you, but it was a key. It was a key pickup on a drive that led to the winning field goal.
That's right.
The score was tied 10-10.
Well, listen, if I was, 7 inches taller, I'd be a shooting forward or a small forward in the NBA.
Yeah, so woulda, coulda, shoulda, right?
Yeah, so woulda, coulda, shoulda, man, you know?
You're saying stop the play. Stop the play anyway.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, man, you know?
Okay, so let's see here. That was – you had 78 yards, 5 receptions in that game. For a touchdown. I'm looking.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We won.
That's right. It's not going to change.
Okay, here
it's
we go.
It's not going to change.
So that was the third quarter?
No, I believe it was the fourth quarter.
Fourth
because
quarter?
It was the score was tied. The Titans tied it up 10-10. And I'm trying to find the play. I think it was
I mean, listen, fellas, it really
it doesn't
matter. We won.
I know.
We won.
I know. It doesn't matter.
Hey.
I think I may have. Yeah, it wasn't to. It was Clayton. I think it was Mark Clayton.
I think if it's the play that I think it was, I believe that's correct, but I'm not 100% sure.
No.
You can just see that clock going to zero.
Well, had they kept me on the team, they would have won.
There it is. There it is. Had to get that in there.
Yep. That's another woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Then I wouldn't have caught the touchdown for Baltimore. I would have caught it for the Titans. So there we go.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If
and buts.
Exactly.
if was a fifth, is that what you'd say?
We'll all be drunk, okay?
Yeah.
But, again, looking at the Giants this weekend, you got Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious of Saquon Barkley and just what if Saquon is going to bounce back or if that's just going to be a story of a great player that battled injuries and just never really became what everybody thought he was going to be.
It's almost going down the path of the running back for Seattle that played at Alabama. He had like 2 or 3 really good seasons but end up battling injury. He had a 2,000-yard season, I believe.
Talk about Sean Alexander.
Yeah, Sean Alexander. And then he just ran into – I believe he ran into injuries too.
Well, that's another in the club of a couple of huge years and then the wear and tear.
Exactly.
He's in that curse of 370 club. He's one of the first guys people point to. They went to a Super Bowl, and he was a huge reason they got there.
Yeah, but he wasn't the same.
But
after.
He got hurt – the next year
and
was never the same.
So I see sort of CJ as being in, that mold or even the Saquon Barkley at being in that mold of having that really good season and then an injury hits you and now everybody's wondering, will you ever be back to the same player you were? Because if Saquon's back to, rookie year Saquon or even close to rookie year Saquon, it makes Daniel Jones' job a lot easier, and now you're looking at the Giants a lot different. Well, we will find out come Sunday whether, Saquon is, fully over that injury or not.
I was looking at some Giants stuff this morning, and I found it interesting. They have a new GM as well as a new coach. Like, we were talking about the new coach yesterday, Brian Daboll, who ran the Bills' offense last year. They kept Wink Martindale, who took over in the middle of the season last year. So a lot of the schemes are new. The GM is also new. What did he do in particular with Daniel Jones and with Saquon Barkley? He basically said, look, I'm the new guy. I inherited some of these contracts, whether I like them or not. And so what he tried to do was move on from as many as he could and then set himself up to where he's not married any longer than he has to be with some of them. And the two that come to mind for the latter, Daniel Jones. He did not pick up the fifth-year option. So it's kind of interesting. And when we go to New York and talk Giants at 1 o'clock, this is a question I want to ask is, what do Giants fans want? Do they want a big bounce back with the new coach, with Daniel Jones, to where they say, okay, new guy, new scheme, he's our guy? Or do they want him to flop so it's really easy for them to just move on and have a high pick because you've got Bryce Young and you've got C.J. Stroud, you've got, you know, what looks to be a pretty good quarterback class. This might be a good year to have.
Come on, those are Giants. They're the Giants fans. They want to win.
Well,
and you're in New York.
I think so, but I think it's a mixed thing. And then Saquon Barkley's another one. They set his contract up. He's playing for a contract this year. I mean, so he's very, very motivated. He's been on the record as saying he's using all of the criticism and things like that as motivation. And so he's got a lot to play for this year. This is the old thing that's going to test the theory of, does a guy play better when his contract's on the line?
Real quick, Kevin on our text line says, D-Mace killed us. That's all we need to know. Crumpler fumbled on the goal line. Do we really have to relive that? Yeah.
CJ did mention that. There were a couple fumbles in the red zone that were very costly in that game. I think Lendale White had one.
Those are things that, you know, sort of sway the game one way or another. You can't have those small things. Disciplined teams don't have them.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. Disciplined teams don't have them.
Coming up next, it's Silly Underdog Picks time here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday. All at once, your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk, your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.